So that was good. Getting everybody into the act tonight. We got beginners and master's club and the couples class and guys moving mics around. A whole group. Galatians chapter 6 tonight, if you would. Galatians 6 this evening. Galatians 6. This one is hot off the press because I changed my mind at the last minute and decided to go this route. So hopefully it won't sound like it just came off the press as it goes. Our theme this year, of course, is the church, which is his body and members in particular. We're not doing so much a doctrinal study of that because we've done so much of that in the past. And we did do one doctrinal message the other Sunday night just to make sure we all understood that the body is the local church and what that means. And so we did that. The main thing we're working on is how to function as a body, what it means to be a member of a local church and a part of one of the Lord's bodies. And so that's kind of what we've been dealing with. And I was going to work on something else tonight. I've been working on a message on the fact that the church is filled with the fullness of Christ. And that one's still cooking. And so I'm working on that one. Actually, I was going to preach on that tonight. But after we got done with the Lonely Road Conference on Friday night and Saturday, and I got to thinking about something I mentioned as we tied up the conference about the great need that we have to share one another's burdens, you know, and to deal with the idea of burden. Man, if a local church being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is anything, it ought to be a place where we can help carry and share one another's burdens. And boy, if this conference didn't bring that out, nothing will. And the Lord really spoke to my heart about that. So we're going to deal with that tonight and kind of talk a little bit about that and what it means. And we're going to have to hurry along because this is one of those messages where I could definitely get bogged down if I let myself. So I'm going to try to just keep pushing on, not repeat much, and just move forward. But notice, if you will, in Galatians 6, we've covered this verse when we finished up Galatians and on Sunday mornings. But verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, there's some context here, which we'll get in a moment. But I want you to notice that phrase, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Here's our title tonight, Casting Our Burdens. Casting Our Burdens. Father, we pray that you bless the reading and the study of your word tonight. Thankful for the little ones who sang tonight. Also thankful for our couples and what a blessing they are to our church. And it's good to hear them and see them get up and sing and not be afraid to stand up for their Savior. So we're thankful for all that, everyone who has a part. And we talked about getting so many involved tonight. I'm thankful our church is involved all the way across the board and how hard everyone works. And so we're just so thankful for that. But for right now, we pray that you'll bless your word as we talk about our need to also share each other's burdens as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to his word tonight. We're just going to get into this and press on so we don't end up being too late. You know, the word burden appears most often in the Old Testament as a heavy load or a pack or some form of cargo. And we find that in the New Testament as well. But in the New Testament, I don't think it's any secret to you that in the New Testament, especially, the idea of a weighty load or straining under a heavy load or cargo is used metaphorically, talking about burdens that we bear. Now, you know, we don't use the word burden much in the area of weight. You never hear a guy go, "My truck is loaded with a heavy burden," right? We don't use it normally as a weight. People probably will now because I said that. We'll be joking about our truck being loaded with a heavy burden. But we don't use it that way. We use it metaphorically like the New Testament. When someone says, "I've got a great burden," you know, you understand they're not carrying a physical load around on their back. They're dealing with some kind of issue or something serious in their life. The word in our text, the word burden in Galatians 6:2, comes from a word which means onerous or something that is a difficult concern. And the word onerous simply means oppressive. It means causing great hardship. So when we talk about a burden in Galatians 6:2, we're talking about something that is a great hardship, something that's oppressive, something that causes a great, the feeling, though it may not be a physical weight, the feeling of a great weight on us. And that's what it's talking about. And again, I think we understand that. Say amen. We understand that. So a burden in that sense is anything that's oppressive mentally, anything that is oppressive emotionally, anything that can be oppressive physically, it's that which creates a great hardship on us in some form or another. Burdens can be financial. You can have a financial burden. Paul uses it in 2 Corinthians 8 of a financial burden when he said to the churches of Macedonia that he desired them not to be burdened because other churches weren't doing their job. He didn't want them to be overly oppressed in their giving as a relationship to that. In Galatians 6:2, Paul talks about the fact that we should bear each other's burdens in relationship to a fault in chapter 6 and verse 1. Someone messes up, makes a mistake, not something they repeatedly do, but they just did something, they just made a bad choice, and we're to help bear their burden and get them back on track if they're repentant, and so he uses it that way. It's sometimes used of even of that which is good. You know, Paul spoke often of the fact that he had a great burden for certain places that hadn't heard the gospel. He was greatly oppressed by it, burdened by the thought there were people who were lost. Would to God we had more good burden, you know, in our life, oppressed in that sense. And so I think we'd agree tonight that we use the word burden most often, though, of people experiencing heavy or oppressive circumstances in our life. We use it sometimes with missionaries. We know we want to hear a man's burden for where he's going. But most of the time we talk about a burden, we're talking about some unwanted circumstance in our life, something we wish we weren't going on, that's just oppressive and difficult and heavy on us. And that's normally what we think of when we think of the idea of the word burden. At the very least, these are burdens that tend to cause us the most trouble, and at times, unfortunately, cause the greatest number of people to fall under them as well. If you've been saved any length of time, if you've been in church very long, you've probably known some people who have fallen under a burden. I mean, the burden just became oppressive, and for whatever reason, they didn't deal with it right, or maybe they had no one to share it with, or didn't share it, and because of that, they may no longer be in church, might not be serving God anymore. I've known men in the ministry who, because of the burden of the ministry, aren't in the ministry any longer. And so we know of people who fall under these things. So they're serious. Come on, this thing of a burden or experiencing a burden is a serious issue in life and a serious matter in life. And we just heard some of that over the last couple of days, the burden of childlessness or infertility, those who carry the burden of being unable to have a child, the desire of their heart. That's a great burden. And we could go around the room tonight and make lists of things that would be considered a great burden, whether we're experiencing them or not. Now, you know, a burden, you should be clear by now, is not a normal challenge in life. It's not a rough patch, you know, that we go through in life. We all experience those. Now, I know today, because of the culture that we're in, and maybe the spiritual immaturity and just the general culture that we're in, there are some people who think everything is a burden. I mean, everything in their life is a catastrophe. Everything that goes on and everything that's happened. And again, I think that's due to the immaturity of our time. I think in the world, that's because of the godlessness of our time. But most of us, especially here on a Sunday night, most of us, while we don't enjoy those times, we don't enjoy those, let's call them light burdens for the sake of argument or the normal challenges in life, most of us deal with those. We grow up in the Lord and we come to a place where we can deal with the normal challenges. Come on, there's always challenges in life, you know, and we learn to deal with those and challenging circumstances that come into our daily life. The key to understanding the difference, though, between those things and what we're talking about, I think, is that word oppressive. You know, there's challenges that come into our life, but they're not all oppressive. Some are just, you understand when we use the phrase great weight. I mean, they're just oppressive. There are the challenges of life that we may get tired of dealing with all the time, but they don't oppress us. I mean, they're just not this heavy burden, this thing that we're greatly burdened with and have to deal with in our lives. And again, the key to understanding those two, I think, is that word oppressive. The word oppressive means excessive, intense. It's sometimes translated the word tyrannical, you know, and sometimes issues or things come into our life can feel like they're tyrannical. In other words, they feel like they're running our life, you know, because they're so oppressive and matter of fact, it's consuming our life. It's the one thing we're focused on, you know, because it's so serious in our life. And that's the idea of a burden. These are things that can stretch our faith, and even test the limits of it at times. That's the idea of a burden. Are you with me so far? If you read much about burdens in the Scripture or the idea of a burden in the Scripture or in the Word of God, you don't have to read very far or read very long to realize. Now, here's the part that we don't do a good job with. You don't have to read very far or read very much to begin to realize that we are not made nor meant to carry burdens alone. We deal with the challenges of life. You know, we don't have to get involved in everybody's challenges of life. You know, we need to grow up and deal with life. But when it comes to burdens, those things that are oppressive and tyrannical, those things that just weigh us down and we feel like they're a great weight we can't get out from under, those are things that we're not meant to carry alone. We weren't made to carry alone. And we're not supposed to carry alone. We're not called to carry burdens by ourselves. That's why Paul says, carry one another's burdens. He doesn't say, now we know on down in the verse, in verse 5, he talks about every man will carry his own burden, because in context, he's talking about judgment here. And we'll put all Galatians 6 in context in a minute. So that's talking about something else. But when it comes to the burdens of life, we're not meant or designed or built to carry them alone. You know, burdens are different, and they're not meant, like I said, to ever be carried alone. And again, I'll address the context in Galatians 6:2 in a moment, but it says, bear ye one another's burdens. And I don't think we need to take, 45 minutes tonight to define what the word bear means. I think most of us could probably surmise it, amen, from the text as to what it means. But since I'm preaching, I'm supposed to tell you what it means. It means to pick up, means to lift up, means to sustain, to take up, to carry. And so we're to help sustain one another's burdens. We're supposed to help lift up one another's burdens. We're supposed to help carry one another's burdens so much as we can in the context of whatever that burden is. We're supposed to help do that. It's our job. We're not meant to carry them alone, so someone has to help us carry those. We won't turn there for the sake of time because I don't want to get long tonight with all that we've already done. But here's a thought for you. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 27, it's used of a woman carrying a baby in the womb. The same word that we find in Galatians 6 where it says bear one another's burdens is translated womb. And Luke chapter 11 talks about how a mother carries her infant in her womb. So she's carrying it. We even say that, don't we? She's carrying a child. And so it's used that way. Kind of gives you an idea of what it means when it says bear one another's burdens. Help carry one another's burdens. The greatest example of it probably is in John chapter 19 and verse 17, where Jesus bore his cross, where he carried his cross. It's used of Paul in Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21 is where Paul gives his defense there in Jerusalem, and the crowd begins are ready to tear him apart, and that Roman soldier brings the troops in and rescues him. And the Bible says that he was borne by the soldiers to safety. That's the same word as the word bear in our text in Galatians chapter 6. So it means to carry, to bear, to lift up. They lifted up Paul and carried him to safety. A baby, a woman carries a child, should be the safest place on earth, but carries a child to safety, unless you live in a country where we abort them, where it costs, as a couple of us were talking about child rearing and child bearing because of the conference, and I was making the comments, it just burns me up that it costs thousands of dollars to adopt a baby and the government will pay you to kill one. Come on, it shouldn't be, just not right, should it? But the word, again, to bear has that idea of to bear one along. So, we're called on to help our brother and sister in Christ when they're laboring under a burden, whether that's childlessness or a physical ailment the list is endless of different burdens that people could be bearing. Family issues, family problems, sickness in a family. There's just so many things that we could list as a burden, not normal challenges of life, but heavy burdens. And so we're called upon to help our brother or sister in Christ when they're laboring under them, help lift them up or lift it up, or if we can carry it in some way or help with the burden in some way. One writer said this. He said, since carrying anything is an exertion of power and energy and time, it includes the exercise and the application of will. Now what that means is simply this. I have never in my life mysteriously found myself carrying 50 pounds, wondering how that happened. Well, I'm carrying about 20, I'm wondering how that happened, but I've never found myself I've got 50 pounds in my arms. How did that happen? I was just walking along and now I got 50 pounds I'm carrying. No, if I'm carrying 50 pounds, it's because I chose to pick it up, or somebody made me pick it up, or my wife made me move something. That's the only reason I'm carrying 50 pounds around. So in other words, when we carry a weight of some kind, we do it because we choose to. We've exercised our will. We made the decision to do it. And that's why we're doing it. And of course, when it comes to this and the idea of the word bear, it's talking about the fact that bearing the burden of my brother is not something that I should be forced to do. It's an exercise of the will. It's something that I choose to do. I choose to help you bear your burden. I choose to help lift you up in the midst of your burden. I could say no, I guess, but I choose not to. To see my brother or sister in Christ bearing a load that they're not meant to bear alone, and then of my own free will, expend my energy, expend my ability, expend my time, helping them lift it up, to make the choice to help sustain them through it. That's what the word bear means and implies. We don't accidentally help our brother and sister in Christ with our burden. We choose to do so. We choose to be a part of that, to give our energy. We make an exercise of the will to give our energy, to give our time, to give our effort to help them in whatever way that we can of my own free will. Now, we're not called upon to carry it for them. The Bible does talk about carry their burdens for them, because as God's people, we know we need to learn to begin to carry our burdens. You know, and of course, occasionally, if you know as well as I do, some people, if you let them, will have you carry their burden. But we're not called to do that. We're called to put our shoulder under it and help them carry it and help them lift it up and carry their burden. And no place is that more true than inside the Lord's body, the local church. Now, we talk about letting others help bear our burden. When we talk about other people, when we talk about others that we need to help, I'm trying to think how I want to say this. When we talk about letting others help bear our burden, we're not meant to do that once we've crashed and burned, right? Because what happens so many times with burdens is we don't let people in, or we don't let people help us carry it until we are exhausted under it. Isn't that true? Until we've just crashed and burned concerning it. You know, I'm not supposed to be like that guy who maybe, you know, is carrying a great pack on his back and he carries it so long that he finally is exhausted, so he collapses under it and he's face down in the dirt, and then he says, "I need some help." No, we're supposed to carry one another's burdens and have others help us carry, allow people to help me with my burden before I get to that place.
Right.
Nor are we to wait until our brother or sister Christ is in that place before we offer help. Because these are serious matters, burdens are, and we're to help each other with that. Now, here comes the hard part. You ready? If God's people, hard on us, if God's people are not meant to bear burdens alone, and we're to put our time and energy and ability and effort into helping lift up my brother's burden, how could that not possibly imply that I'm to allow others to help bear my burden? Does that make sense? If I'm supposed to help you bear your burden, how could that not imply? Listen, if burdens are those things that are oppressive, and we all deal with them in life, hopefully you don't deal with a lot of them, but we all deal with them in life from time to time. And if I'm not supposed to wait until I crash and or watch you crash and burn, but help you lift up yours, how could that possibly not imply that I'm supposed to allow you to help me bear mine? This is not a one-way thing. This is not where we're supposed to help other people bear our burdens, but I'm not letting anybody help me bear mine. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to help others, and we're supposed to allow others to help us. You know, our nature doesn't naturally share burdens. Come on, does it? There's a word for that. In Greek, it's spelled P-R-I-D-E. We don't like to share burdens. You know why? Especially, I think, as independent Baptists, because we're tough. Oh, come on. We're tough. Don't say amen. Go, whoa. We're tough. We don't want anybody to know we've messed up. We don't want anybody to know we've got a weak spot. We don't want anybody to know that we're struggling with something. Because we put on, remember I mentioned the other day, we put on our faith face. How's things going? Great. Great. Wonderful. Everything's fine. Everything is great. For our burden and deal with our burden. It's our nature not to want to share burdens. You know, this is going to sound odd maybe, but I think it's a work of Christ in us. I think it's a work of Christian growth to come to the place where we're willing to share a burden. This is why there are so oftentimes in Baptist churches people who are great, people who are tremendous at helping other people share their burden, but they are horrible at letting someone else share theirs. They're all in when it comes to sharing someone else's burden, but they're not about to let anybody in to share their burden. It must be quiet, so somebody must know somebody that way. We don't want to admit that we have one, let alone give anyone in the church the opportunity. Listen, we don't want to admit we have one. Now listen close to what I'm about to say. Let alone give somebody the opportunity to be obedient to God and help me bear mine. This is what we're called to. We're not called to bear burdens alone. It's God's plan for us. This is God's plan. It's God's plan for us to help others bear their burden and for us to allow others to help us bear our burden. Now listen, This is going to be, this is true. It is disobedience to refuse to help others with their burdens. Would you agree with that? Listen, if I know Brother Marksmeyer's got a burden, it's disobedience for me not to say, hey, brother, is there someone I can help with that? Can I help carry something? Is there something I can do for you? If I know there's something I can do that, or whoever we're talking about. Come on, if I see my brother struggling under a burden, it's disobedience not to step in and say, hey, can I help?
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Would it not be just as much disobedience to not allow Brother Marksmeyer to help me with my burden? Since we're called to carry one another's burden. There's nobody in this church whose commandment is to carry everybody else's burden, but nobody to carry theirs. So it's disobedience to not help carry my brother's burden. It's just as disobedient to not allow others to help me carry mine. You think maybe there's a reason why God did that? You think it might be that God knows we're not capable of always carrying our burden alone? And so God says, here's what we're going to do. When you see your brother struggling, you help him. And when your sister sees you struggling, you let her help you. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's the way it's supposed to work. That's what being a part of the body is. Come on, it's more than just showing up and singing songs at the same time. It's got to be more than that. You can do that and not be a body of Christ. Part of the body of Christ is that interconnected relationship which we haven't got into 1 Corinthians yet, where we're dependent upon one another. We're one of another. Isn't that what the Bible says? And so we should help carry one another's burdens. And it shouldn't be hard to understand why God does this when you've been saved long enough to see how many good, strong Christians have been made shipwreck because of a burden. Because they wouldn't let anybody in until it finally drives them to the ground. And then they go down that road I was talking about yesterday, where people start saying things like, well, nobody cares, nobody knows, nobody cares about me. You know, it's because you haven't shared your burden. You can't expect people to care about that which they don't know or don't understand. And so God has this plan. It's a great plan. Our pride doesn't like it, but it's a great plan. And I'm just like you. My flesh is just like yours. I don't like to share my burdens. It's a little more difficult for me because the pastor-church relationship, preachers usually share their burdens with other preachers. But it's incumbent upon me to do that. If I've got a heavy burden, if it's something that as a pastor I don't feel like I can share with the church, then I need to call another pastor and say, hey, I got this pastoral burden that I'm dealing with. Can you help me with that? But we're supposed to do that with one another. Amen. To help each other when it comes to this thing of a burden. We're called to do that for our own safety. You say, well, you've always got those people think, well, I can tough it out. I don't need that. I'm okay. I read somewhere, I forget how it goes. It goes something like, take heed, lest when thou think thou standest, thou crasheth and burn. There's a lot of people not in church anymore because they thought they were big enough and tough enough and strong enough and spiritual enough to bear some burden because they wouldn't let somebody in. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Amen? Now listen, I don't mean tonight that we're to depend just on one another in times of oppression. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 5. Everybody still awake? Still with me? 1 Peter chapter 5. When I talk about bearing one another's burdens, it should be obvious tonight on a Sunday night that God never intends on for us just to depend on each other. He also wants us to depend on Him. And our kids sing about this. And we do too when us adults get stuck in VBS. We sing about it too. But 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says this, likewise, no, that's not right, I'm in 2 Peter. Where am I here? 1 Peter 5, there we go, 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Cast your burdens, isn't that what we sing? Upon Jesus. Makes great song. So we're not meant to just carry each other's burdens. We're also meant to cast our burdens on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that would be obvious, wouldn't it? That we should cast our burdens on Him. You know, the word casting is a great word. The word cast means to cast something onto something else. And I love the last part of the definition. The little definition is to cast something onto something else with great energy.
Amen.
Here's what I thought of when I read that definition. The first thing I thought of is when I'm carrying something too heavy, or I'm carrying three or four things because I'm too lazy to make four trips, and so I'm going to get it all in one. I know I'm the only one who ever does that, but so I've got three or four things, you know, that I'm carrying, and it's all too heavy. And so what happens when stuff gets too heavy and you're about to drop it? Well, you start leaning forward, and you start moving quicker, and you start trying to find some place for it to land. Know what you do? Because you've got to get rid of it quickly. When I think of that word casting, that's what I think about. I got this big, heavy burden, and so I've got to lean into the Lord and get this thing off of me and cast it onto Him, because that's what the word cast means. And so we certainly are to cast our burdens on Him. And I like the idea that we're to do it with energy. You know what that means, don't you? It doesn't mean that we do it once we're defeated. It doesn't mean that we do it once we're discouraged. It doesn't mean that we do it once we're despondent. It doesn't mean that we do it once we've wrestled with it until we finally come to the place where we understand I'm buried under this thing. We're to cast it with great energy, which means our first thought should be, I need to give this to the Lord. Right. Not after I've run through plan A and B and C and D and however many plans I've got, but I'm to immediately cast it upon the Lord. God, I can already tell I'm not going to be able to do this one alone. And we're to cast it upon Him. And so absolutely we're to turn to the Lord as well. We're to immediately turn to the Lord when we're under burden as quickly as we can. Cast it on Him. Run to Him. Place it on Him. Amen. And we're to do that. Why? Because He cares for us. Amen. He cares about our burden. Whether it's childlessness or whether it's sickness or whether it's health or family problems, God cares about us. Isn't it something that the God of heaven wants you to, with great energy, cast your burden on Him? Amen. I'm pretty sure the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God will be better at carrying it than you are. Amen. We're to cast it upon Him. Now, does God remove our burdens? Oftentimes not. But He helps us carry them. Come on, how many times have you seen that footprint picture? He helps us carry them, doesn't He? And we're to cast them upon Him. It's not that He doesn't care. It's just that we also oftentimes don't cast it upon Him. Now, in 1 Peter, look in chapter 5 if you're still there. I don't think it's an accident, and I could be wrong, but I don't think it's an accident, that He tells us in verse 7 to cast our cares immediately upon Him. I don't think it's an accident that the verse just before that is talking about humbling ourselves. And I also don't think it's an accident that the verse right after that, it says, beware of the enemy. Yeah. Beware of the enemy. Humble yourself, cast your care on Me, because there's an enemy out there that will consume you.
Right.
And He has no qualms about using your burdens to ruin you.
Yes. Right.
And to defeat you, to convince you that God doesn't care. To convince you that nobody cares about you. To convince you that nobody understands you. Nobody. You're the first person in the history of 6,000 years of humanity to experience this problem. And there's not a soul in that church that cares about you. That preacher, he don't care. And those people don't care. That's the enemy. Absolutely. Come on. God's not, the Holy Spirit's not putting those thoughts in your mind. The Holy Spirit never comes along and says to you, nobody cares about you. The Holy Spirit never comes along and says, nobody, your parents don't understand you. Your spouse doesn't understand you. Nobody cares about you. The Holy Spirit never comes along and says, you poor thing. Nobody cares. That's the enemy. That's the reason why God says, get rid of that thing immediately. Cast it on the Lord, because He cares for your soul. David knew a thing or two about burdens. He made a couple for himself. But he also knew a few things about burdens that were put on him. Look in Psalm 55. Flip over there if you will. Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Everybody still along?
Amen.
Come on, I got a burden for this. I got a burden for burdens. Psalm 55. And I say that jokingly, but not so much joking. It's part of my heart for our church this year. We got a great church.
Amen.
Works well together. We're not perfect. Amen. Because I'm not perfect. You don't have a perfect preacher. And I've been watching, but I haven't seen any perfect members yet. So we're not perfect. We have areas where we're grown? Sure, absolutely, because we're a bunch of saved sinners.
Right.
But at the same time, we've got a great church. But I want to see us grow together, not just being able to set up tables and tear down the fellowship hall, but to carry one another's burdens, things that really matter. David understood this, Psalm 55. Look what he says in verse 22. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Notice, and he shall what?
Sustain
thee. He doesn't say he'll carry it for you. He doesn't say he will remove it, but it says he will sustain you in your burden. And notice what he says at the end of the verse. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You will never fail under a burden if you cast it upon him, because he will sustain you.
Right.
You believe that? Come on, nobody has ever dealt with a burden which they have cast, genuinely cast upon the Lord and kept their relationship with him right and have failed under it. Because God will not allow you to be moved under burden when you cast it on him. God's never going to throw it back. God's never going to drop it. God's never going to say, this one's too heavy for me. He's always going to sustain you when you cast it upon him. We sing about our need to cast our care on him all the time. We sing that song. Listen, the kids sing that 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. We sing this, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. And what do we say? I cannot bear these burdens, what?
Alone.
In my distress, he kindly will help me. He loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. We just not always good at doing it. But he says, we got to cast it on him. So we need to carry one another's burdens. But we obviously should, very first thing we should do is cast it upon him. And can I say this and we'll move on? If we don't first cast it upon him, there's nobody in a church who can help us bear it. Does that make sense? Come on, if you're dependent on me to help bear your burden alone, if you're dependent on Brother Sam or Dalton or Brother Matt or whoever, if we're dependent on each other as the sole thing to sustain us under a burden, we're never going to make it. Because you and I are not that strong. But if we first cast our burden on him, then he will sustain us, which will enable us then to help support each other and sustain each other. That's God's plan. It's the way God has designed it to happen. One thing's for sure, as I said, if you don't first and also turn it over to God and turn the weight of that burden over to him, there's nothing any person can do to lighten that load. But the same God, I'm not sure I even understand this, but the same God who says, cast all your care on me, is the same God who said, bear one another's burdens. You would think maybe, wouldn't you, that if God said, cast all your care on me, that's all I'd need to do. Just throw it all on him as quickly as I can. And then be done with it. But then God comes along and says, oh, but also bear each other's burdens. Tell your brother and sister in Christ about it and let them help bear it as well. And let them bear yours. Look over to Matthew, if you would, Matthew 26. Would you agree with this tonight? Nobody has ever carried a greatest burden as our Lord did.
Amen.
As our Lord Jesus Christ did. Carried a horrendous burden. Carried the weight of our sin. Listen, you ought to be thankful tonight that Jesus carried the weight of all your sin, nailed into the cross of Calvary and died so that we might be saved. There's no greater weight than anyone has ever carried than when Jesus Christ, the holy, sinless Son of God, bore the weight and the burden of every person's sin.
Amen.
When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes.
And spent those hours in the darkness, I believe that God turned the light off because what happened in that darkness was between him and his Son.
Right.
As he bore the weight of our sin. No one has ever borne a greater burden as Jesus did. So don't ever say, no one understands. Don't ever say, God doesn't care, God doesn't know. He knows.
Yeah.
He was tempted on all points like as we are, yet without sin. He came to this earth in human flesh so that he could die for us, but also so that he might know our burdens. Well, how did Jesus deal with his burdens? Well, one of the greatest times of burden in his life beyond the cross was when he was in the garden. And when he was in the garden, notice in Matthew chapter 26, I want you to notice that the first thing he did in verse 36 was to cast his care on the Father.
Right.
Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them, his disciples, unto the place called Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Hey, listen up. That's a burden. He began to be very heavy. He says, I've got to go. I've got this burden about the cross that lays before me. This is the Son of Man speaking. He says, and I need to cast this on the Father. And so he took them with him and said, I've got to go pray. But then notice what he says in verse 38. He says this, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Here's my burden. And then notice what he says, tarry ye here and what? Watch with me. Isn't it something that Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, says, I've got this burden. I'm about to die for the sins of all men. I'm going to have to bear the condemnation of every man. I'm exceedingly sorrowful. It's amazing to me that Jesus, the Son of God, turned to these men and said, here's my problem. I'm exceedingly sorrowful. And I've got to give this to the Father. I've got to cast it upon him. And oh, by the way, will you tarry with me? Now they failed miserably. But he turned to them and said, you know what he's saying in essence? Could you help me carry this what? This burden. Would you watch with me? Would you pray with me? I think if Jesus could share his burden with this bunch, we could surely share our burdens with each other. And if Jesus, as the Son of Man, our example, felt the need to share his burden with these men, maybe we ought to feel the need to share our burden with others and let them bear ours. If Jesus was willing to let these men, well, this is what was supposed to happen, if he was willing to let them share in his burden, maybe we should let others share in our burden. Come on, Jesus opened the door a little bit and let him in, didn't he? When he said, watch with me. I think that's good. Amen. What a great example of casting your care upon God, yet allowing others to share in your burden. Because Jesus did both of them. Even Jesus let a bunch of guys like the disciples in. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, look there if you will, back over in our text in verse 2. Galatians 6 and verse 2, and we'll start wrapping this up here, heading it that way. The only place, I was amazed by this. Now, you may have already known it. All the great Bible scholars in our church may have already known this, but I didn't realize it, I guess because I've never looked. But the only time carry one another's burdens appears in all the Bible is right here. It's the only time it shows up. I would have assumed it was probably in there. I was kind of shocked, to be honest with you, when I didn't find it more. I kind of thought there would be more references to carry one another's burdens, but this is the only place it appears. And here it's used in context of verse 1 of a man who's taken in a fault. Man who's messed up, he's made a big mistake, and then he says we're to bear one another's burdens in relationship to that, which is certainly something that we should help the repentant brother or sister carry. Amen? But if we're to help one another carry the results of a fault, surely we're supposed to help one another carry the burdens of life. That makes sense? I mean, surely if we're to carry each other's burdens when one of us sin or make a mistake, surely we're supposed to help carry one another's burdens in life. And if that doesn't make it clear, I would think the end of verse 2 makes it clear that we might fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Mm-hmm. Love my Lord more than myself and to love you like myself.
Right.
And so because of that, if nothing else, we are to bear one another's burdens. But there's another word in the New Testament that covers the same idea. Ephesians 4, look over there. Ephesians 4. There's another word that appears more often in the New Testament that means the same thing. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, he says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with what? Long-suffering. But then notice, forbearing one another in what?
Love.
That's the same thing as, we could say this, forbearing one another in the law of Christ. Couldn't we? I'm not correcting our Bible, but we could say that because that's what it means. Forbearing one another in the love of Christ. The word forbearing means to endure something unpleasant with another. To endure something unpleasant with another. What a great word for sharing your burden.
Right.
And sharing, helping other people share their burden. Bearing something unpleasant with another. Out of love, Paul says, we're to do it out of love. Why do we share each other's burdens? Because we love each other.
Amen.
because we care about each other. That's the reason why stuff like this only works in a local church. It doesn't work in this non-existent, universal, invisible church made up of all the saved. I don't know if you know this or not, but when I've had a burden, I've never once had the universal, invisible church come by my house and pray with me. I've never gotten a phone call from a bunch of people in China or Africa or Italy who's in the universal church who cares about me. They don't even know. You know who cares? You know who knows? People sitting in this room.
Right.
In our church, which is the true body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of love, Paul says, the love Paul mentioned in the law of Christ, we're to help others endure that which is unpleasant, a burden, and we're to allow them to forbear with us as well. Now, all of this isn't something that's good to do. I'm going to give you a couple practical points and we'll be done. But all this is not something that's good to do. We are commanded to do it. It's the command of God. He doesn't say, you know, it would be a good idea if you were so choose to bear one another's burdens. He says, no, bear ye one another's burdens. And if there's a commandment for me to bear yours, then that commandment, when it says bear ye one another's burdens, you understand, if that's a commandment for me to bear yours, then that's a commandment for you to bear mine, which means I've got to let you in to bear it. And so this is the commandment of God that we're to do this. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Let me give you a couple practical points about this, and we'll be done. I'm not going to give you a bunch of verses because this is just practical stuff I've kind of observed, and some of you have too. What it means to bear each other's burdens, and how do we go about doing that? It's not difficult, but how do we go about doing that? And we'll go home. First, let me point out a few things I know I don't need to point out, but preachers point out stuff even when they don't need to point it out. So I'm going to point out that which I know I don't need to. And that is, first of all, this. When it comes to bearing each other's burdens or people bearing my burdens, we can't expect people to help carry a burden that's the result of continually disobeying God's word.
Amen.
Now, if I'm continually disobeying God's word in my life, I can't expect people to continually bear my burden when I just continue to disobey God's word. We can't expect people to help carry a burden that's the result of continually making bad choices. Have you met people in your life, you know, even in your saved life, who just make one bad choice after another, and they're always wanting to include you and trying to help them bear their burden and clean up their mess when they just continually keep making the same decisions over and over and over? And we can do that for a bit because we're to bear each other's burdens even when we make a fault in Galatians 6:1. But when a person can, if you're going to keep continually making bad decisions one after other and you're not willing to do something constructive to make it right, it's not the church's responsibility, your brother and sister's responsibility to continually bear your burden. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Thirdly, we can't expect people to help carry a burden that's the result of repeatedly making foolish financial decisions. You can't expect the church to help keep paying your utility bill when you just keep making bad decision after bad financial decision after bad financial decision. Everybody else has to balance their checkbook, so do you. That's not bearing a burden, that's enabling. You can't expect people to help carry a burden that's the result of foolish, stubborn pride. I've messed up and I'm unwilling to admit it. I've messed up and I'm not willing to seek forgiveness. I'm too proud to admit the problem. And so therefore, we're not expected to carry the burden of somebody who just out of foolish, stubborn pride won't get things straightened out in their life. We can't expect people to carry a burden that's the result of continuing in a caustic relationship. You can't keep making horrible relationship decisions and then expect, you know, your brother and sister in Christ to continue to carry your burden. We cannot expect people to continue to help carry a burden that's a normal issue of life that everyone else carries. We can't expect people to live our life for us. Come on, there are things in life that we all have to deal with. And we can't expect people to continually carry that like some kind of burden, unless, of course, there's some type of extenuating circumstances. Maybe for some reason you can't do it physically or whatever. But for the most part, you know, we're not talking about carrying the everyday things of life. Those things we need to carry on our own. So that's not what we're talking about. And then one last one, and we'll talk about another part of this. We can't confuse someone helping us carrying a burden with someone allowing us to repeatedly repeat the same information over and over and over and over without wanting some kind of constructive way forward. I want to be careful how I say it, because I don't want to get painted with, he don't care. I had a preacher call me the other day, and we were talking. He said, "Hey, I want to ask you something. How do you deal with people when they come into your office with a problem?" He says, "How do you deal with that?" I was a little bit confused. I thought, "Well, I'm not sure what word you're talking about." He said, "You let them just go on and on and on and on and on and on." He said, "Because I don't. I feel like people think maybe I don't care." I said, "Well, no, not really. Listen, it takes about 5 minutes to figure out what the problem is, doesn't it?
Right.
It's about all it takes." Sure. The other 45 minutes is going over the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I normally don't do that. I'm like, okay, we know what the problem is. Let's figure out what to do now.
Right. Amen.
Because continually rehearsing this problem isn't going to help anybody. Matter of fact, all it does is makes you feel worse. Okay, we got the problem. We got that figured out. Now let's do something constructive. So bearing one another's burdens is not listening to one another go over the same stuff over and over and over and over. It's saying, okay, I hear you, sister. Now, let's figure out what we need to do. Amen? Amen? That's not what bearing one another's burdens is, listening to stuff over and over and over again. You all with me so far?
Amen.
Now, secondly, this one and one more. Secondly, we need to share physical needs, physical burdens as well. We're not talking about just emotional burdens. As a body of Christ, local church, we need to help each other physically as well. I mean, we need to help share each other's physical burdens, help each other out, don't you think? Help each other fix stuff. You know, help each other do whatever you women do, but help each other fix stuff. With men, it's shooting stuff, blowing stuff up, tearing stuff, building stuff. That's what we do, men.
Amen.
And so physical needs, you know, are also things that we need to share. And they're the easy ones. Sharing physical, it's not that hard to make a lunch and take it somewhere. It's not that hard to help some guy fix something. And so these are the easy things to do, physical needs. But they're still burdens. They may not be weighty, you know, oppressive burdens, but they're still burdens as a church we need help share. We ought to help each other with these things as much as we can so that brothers and sisters in Christ don't have to spend money out in the world with things we can help each other with. Now, I realize we've all got lives, okay? We can't come help each other with every single thing going on. We can't come take your trash out. All right, you're going to have to do that on your own or have some more kids, one or the other. If you're smart when you have children, you'll spread them out over about 15 years so you can extend your grass mowing and trash removal. My wife and I didn't figure that out, so I very quickly ran out of people to take out my trash. I don't have anybody to care of my... And I don't have anybody, you know, to get me a wrench when I'm laying out of the car. I don't have anybody to go get a gallon of milk, which is the only reason to let your kid ever get a driver's license. And so we need to help each other, amen, with stuff like this. Now, if it's a long-term, regular commitment, you may need more help, you know, than we can give. But we should help each other. We should, when we're able, help carry physical burdens. You know, let me say this. Be careful. Be careful of something that we oftentimes do when it comes to bearing each other's burdens as far as helping one another with things. And I do it, and God has smote my heart about it, and so I'm going to try my best to not do it anymore. And here's what happens when somebody says, you know, we find out somebody's got a need, or maybe it's something we're doing at the church. It might be a dinner or a breakfast or a ladies' night out or a men's breakfast or a Lonely Road conference or whatever it is that we're doing. And as we're so quick to do this, we'll hear about something. Here's what we'll say. Well, brother, if you need anything, what? Come on, what do we say? Let me know. Call me if you need something. We ought to stop doing that. I've purposed in my heart, I'm going to stop doing it. You say, well, you're not going to help anybody anymore? No, that's not what I'm saying. Let me ask you, how many times do people, unless it's a close friend that we exchange work with a lot, how many times do we actually ever call somebody? Most of us don't, do we? When people say, call me if you need anything, I can't even remember the last time I actually called somebody. Because we don't want to have to call people. I don't want to have to call people. You know, if we're doing something here at the church and somebody says, well, we're doing this, hey, if you need anything, preacher, call me. I wouldn't wait by my phone because I'm probably not going to call you. And then when you do call a lot of times, what happens is this, and let me say this, here in our church, when people say, call me, they mean it. Okay, don't misunderstand me. I don't have any doubt that our church, we got a great working church, we got great relationships, and I believe with all my heart when somebody in Calvary Baptist Church says, if you need something, call me, that they mean it. But I don't want to have to call anybody. You've already admitted you don't like to have to call people. And what happens sometimes is when we do call people, And they meant it when they said it, but now what happens is this, oh, man, I'd love to help, but I got this going on and that going on. And then you feel horrible for calling, for having called. Here's what I've purposed in my heart, which means this is what you should purpose in your heart. Here's what I've purposed in my heart for now. I'm just going to start saying, what time you want me there? What can I bring? What time are we getting started? What do we need to do? I don't know how to do that, so I can't help you with that, but is there something I can do? Hey, I can fetch stuff. I'm a great fetcher. What do we need to do? What can I do to help you? Come on, that's what we need to say, isn't it? So there can be a real help. And if it's something to do with the church, don't say, call me if you need some help within there. Just say, what time you want me there, and I'll be there. Because we ought to help each other with that kind of stuff. Don't you think? I got way off on physical needs a lot longer than I wanted to, but we need to help each other with these things and in people's lives and around the church or where it may be. And again, I don't want anybody to get wrong. I'm going to say it one more time because I don't want to be misunderstood. We have a working church and people who are willing to help each other. And I have no doubt when people say that, they mean it. But nobody likes calling people. So maybe what we ought to do is just say, what time do you want me there? I'll be there. You just tell me what I need. Physical needs are the easy ones. It's problems that are the more difficult one. And let me do this and we're done. The real burdens of life, of course, tend to be the ones that are too heavy to bear. They're the hard ones. They're the ones that are difficult sometimes. And let me say some of this, just so you know, my heart in this, and you do what you want to do, but here's my heart in this. We're called upon to share our burdens. Nobody can help me carry my burden unless I share it. Isn't that true?
True.
I can't sit back and not tell anybody and expect somebody to help me share in that. We're to share our burdens to let others know about our burdens. We're called to share them and to seek primarily what? Prayer. I mean, when it comes to burdens, let's be honest. Most of the time, there's not, and I don't, this is going to sound crazy, but there's not much we can do but pray.
Right.
That's a big thing.
Right.
I don't mean it the way it sounds. I can't do anything. All I can do is pray. It's not how I mean it. But the truth is that when it comes to these kind of burdens, usually what we can do is pray. We can't fix people's burdens a lot of times. But what we can do is pray, which is, again, I should have said it this way. That's the extent most often times of what we can do. That sounds better. We might be able to take food. You know, we might be able to help lighten the load a little bit in something. But prayer is most oftentimes what we can do. And so when I'm under a burden, I need to learn to share that so people can pray. Now, you don't have to give all the details. Matter of fact, I would encourage you not to give any more details than you have to. You know how some people are? Sometimes I'm going, TMI, too much information. We don't have to share every detail of our broken heart or what we're going through. One of the things I appreciate about this conference we just had is it opened my eyes to stuff nobody ever talks about. You know, I want to care about people who have trouble having children, but nobody ever says anything. How do you know? If someone loses a spouse, how do you know unless they open up about how they feel and what they're experiencing, what they're going through? Now, again, we don't have to, and again, I encourage people not to give all the details, but to give enough details. Here's the key. We should give enough details about our burdens to our church family so they can pray intelligently for us. And you don't need a lot of detail to be able to do that. Unspoken prayer requests have their place. Sometimes there is some situation that is just so utterly personal that we can't share it publicly. And so we say, I have an unspoken request. But can I be honest with you? I'm preaching, I probably should be. Can I be honest with you about something? And maybe it's my sin, maybe I'm the one that's failing here spiritually, but I'm just going to be honest with you. And that is, I don't pray for unspoken requests like I do specific requests. And I suspect I'm not alone. When someone says, I've got two unspoken requests, I'm just going to be honest with you. I might pray for it when we're taking them at men's prayer, but that's the last I think of it for the most part. You know why? Because I can't get my teeth into it. I can't pray for it intelligently because I have no idea. Lord, help so-and-so with these unspoken requests, whatever that's about. I don't know. Now, I don't have to know all the details. Someone can say this, and I'll pray for this. Someone can say, you know, right now I've got we got this really serious situation in our family right now that's going on. And I can't give the details because it's very personal. But we have this really serious situation going on, and I really covet your prayers. I can pray for that. I understand they've got a burden. They haven't had to give me all the details, but I know enough now to know it's a burden. And I know how to pray. God, I don't know what's going on in their family situation right now, but it's obvious Brother so-and-so has a tremendous burden about that. It's weighing on him. Would you please help him in whatever that situation is related to their family? I can get my teeth into that. I can't get my teeth into, I got four unspoken requests. And again, they have their place. I'm not saying unspoken requests are wrong. Sometimes things are so utterly personal that we can't say anything. But I think we'd get a lot more prayer if we would share enough to where people can pray intelligently. So we have some idea about what this thing is about. I got this situation at work or whatever it might be that I need your help with, so we can pray intelligently. But we ought not be afraid, and I'm almost done. We ought not be afraid or unwilling to open the door a crack and let our church family in and make them aware of the burden. And we can get a lot of amens there, but I'll say it again. We ought not be afraid or unwilling to open the door a crack and let our church family in and make them aware of the burden. Again, I can't, I've said it 15 times, I'm going to say it the 16th time. We don't have to share everything. But we shouldn't be afraid to open the door crack. And I'm just frustrated sometimes with how cut off and how private we've become in churches. We won't share anything. We won't open the door and let anybody in. Let me give you this thought. We talk all the time about what a great church we are. And I'd second that. We're a great church. We work well together. It's a great church. And it's a blessing. And it's all wonderful. And we talk about it all the time. But if we can't trust one another enough to open the door a little bit and let somebody know a little bit about what's going on with my burden, what does all that mean? Well, we're a great church because we clean up really fast after a fellowship. And we're a great church because we go around and mow people's grass. And we're a great church because we work well together. And we're a great church because we all get along and don't kill each other. That's a benefit. Please keep doing that. We're a great church because we do all this. But what does all that mean if we can't trust each other enough to open the door a little bit and let people see our burdens every now and then? Does that make sense to us? What's wrong in churches today when we treat church people like, you know, well, I like them, I shake hands with them, but I don't trust them with anything about me? We need to be willing to open the door a little bit. Again, you don't have to give tons of personal. I don't want everybody knowing everything about me. But at the same time, we need to be willing to let people in. How else are they going to pray for us if we don't do that? When someone shares a burden, we need to receive it. And we need to pray for it seriously. We need to be willing to do the same thing, but we also need to be willing to receive it. Let me tell you this, and we are absolutely finished. If someone shares, let me give you some words about this idea of people sharing burdens with us, how important it is for us to open the door and let people in a little bit. If someone shares something with us, let me give you some things to think about. If somebody shares with something with the church that's a burden in their life, we shouldn't make them repeat it 42 times. What I mean by that is that I know that we mean well, but not everything is comfortable to talk about, and oftentimes they've shared it, and they've shared what they want to share. We don't need to keep asking them about it constantly. If they want to share something, they will. You know, we should be careful in offering advice and remedies and actions unless we're extremely confident that in some way we can help. It's always a joy when you got some burden, maybe a physical burden. The next thing you know, you got 52 people with remedies that are going to help you fix everything. And it just gets exhausting. It's exhausting. It just gets exhausting. It can be exhausting listening to 35 different ideas about what to do, you know, and one of the most exhausting things is having to rehash your burden over and over and over and over and over and over. Nobody wants to rehash 15 times that they've had a miscarriage. Nobody wants to rehash 15 times that they're struggling having a child. Nobody wants to repeat 42 times about this thing that's going on in their family. They share the burden with us. They've opened the door and let us in a little bit. Now what we need to do is just pray for them. Right. And if we're going to say anything, just say, I heard you're going through some things right now. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And if it's appropriate, say, if Can I do anything for you? Come on, that's how we bear one another's burdens.
Amen.
We don't keep asking about it. We don't ask them for all the details. They've shared what they want to share. Let it go and pray for them. That's what we need to do. And if they want to share something else, they will. But we shouldn't make our bearing their burden a burden. Because if I've got a burden, I don't have to go over it. I don't have to explain it to everybody in the church individually. And we mean well, don't we? Oh, come on, we do. We mean well when we ask, oh, what's going on? I heard you're having some trouble. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Well, you heard you're having trouble. So you probably know what's going on. Just pray for them. And again, like I said, we mean well. We want them to know we care. And the way we express that is by asking more about it. But what we need to do is just say, hey, I heard about that. Heard about your problems. I don't want to know any details. I assume you've shared what you want to share. And so I just want you to know, I am literally praying for you. I really am. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yes. All we need to say is, I heard about what you're going through. I don't need any details because God knows. And I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And again, if it's appropriate, say, can I do anything? If they say no, then just say, okay, I'll be praying for you. Often, they just need someone to let them know that they're praying for them.
Amen.
They just need to know that they're not alone, that somebody cares about them. Amen? Listen, if I've got a great burden, I don't want everybody to know every minute detail of it, depending on what it is. But I want people to know enough to pray intelligently. And I don't want to have to repeat it over and over and over and over again. I just want to know that somebody cares. And you know, and that's really all it takes, isn't it? I heard about your situation. And I don't want to know the details because God knows. But I want you to know.
Amen.
I'm praying for you every day.
Yes.
That's what's a help.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if it's appropriate, can I do something? Can I do something? And if they say yes, then exercise your will and help carry the load. If they say no, then just trust them and go on your way. But none of that can happen unless we carry one another's burdens, unless we allow others to carry ours. This is what being a body of Christ is about.
Amen.
It's not a bunch of people who meet at 6 o'clock on Sunday night at the same time. It's about people who care about each other. It's about people who let each other in and into their relationship and share. It's not about feeling sorry for each other. It's about doing real productive things to help one another and bear one another's burden. Amen? We ought to be quick to first cast it upon the Lord, because if you don't cast it on the Lord, there's no one here who can help you. But once you've done that, I don't know why. You would think that maybe it would be enough to do that. But Jesus says, then go cast it upon your brother as well. Let them help you also. Man, what a great church that would be if we could clean up the fellowship hall in a hurry, and if we can work well together and build things together, mow grass and do all those things. And if we could do that and then also be a church where we're not afraid to share our burdens with one another, because we know our brother and sister in Christ care about us, that'd be a great place, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't you stand with me?